The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm going to stick with my mentor's advice and stay with the familiar text. Romans chapter 12. There'll be another place where you've memorized a lot of them, but it's quite interesting to look at it in relationship to the stewarding of your life. We talked last night about preparation for stewarding this new missions year and the new day that God's given you. And to do that, you have to love the Lord above all else, and you have to lean on Him totally and completely. But there's a little bit more to it than just that. We still, in our good churches, have a lot of people struggling to give like they really know God wants them to give, because they just haven't yet made, you know, they say, well, I'm presenting my faith promise giving and my church giving. I'm presenting that to the Lord. Yeah, but there's something that goes before that. And I want to speak to you tonight on that holy presentation. That holy presentation. By the time you get to Romans chapter 12, when you get here, there's a turning in the book of Romans. Up until now, it's been doctrine, and it's been good doctrine. It starts off with that absolute depravity of man. By the time you get to chapter 5, it's into a discourse on justification. You reach on into the following chapters, and it not only deals with justification, it deals with sanctification. And then you finally get here, and it's as if Paul says, all right, that's enough of that now. You've got all that doctrine, let's put it to work. Some folks sit around with a Bible in their lap all their life, know more and more and do less and less. Paul said, now you got your doctrine straight, make use of it. And you know, if what you say that you believe hadn't really changed your life, it doesn't matter much. Look, if you would, at verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sound doctrine always leads to good works. Isn't that interesting? Sound doctrine always leads to good works. And so he's saying, I want you to put your doctrine to work now and go from there. So let's look at our verse. We'll just do a little exposition of the verse. Heaven knows you can't go to Romans chapter 12 and preach anything new. So we're just going to rehearse the old. And I want you to notice that holy presentation. First of all, it is personal. I know that's deep theology. It is personal. Did you notice our verse? Paul said, I beseech you. Now that shotgun stuff, like a lot of our preaching, right directly to the mark. Me and you. I beseech you. Very, very, very personal. Now, I don't know whether there is one or not, but I've never heard of a consecrated church or a consecrated group. It's always a person. And if there's going to be the turning here, it's going to be with you, sir, or you, ma'am, or you, young person. Don't wait on your church.
That's right.
You need to just step right in there and say, all right, if he's beseeching me, that's very personal, that what he's doing, and I'm going to act on that. You know, it'd be a wife or a husband or a teenager. But it's very, very personal. And you know, Paul is not asking us to do anything that he's not already done.
Amen.
Look, if you would, don't look. We won't take time to do that. Trust me.
Amen.
That's scary, isn't it? You go back, all the way back over there in Romans 5:1, he said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not a marvelous statement?
Amen.
Justified how? By faith. And the rest of it's got to be by faith. Now listen to what Paul said about his life. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. He said, I've found out this stuff doesn't matter. None of this stuff matters. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Start out being justified by faith, wound up living by the faith of the Son of God. Very, very, very personal, you know. And we need to just understand that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And please understand, right up in the beginning, God's not talking about your soul now. You're trying to get too spiritual. God's not talking about your soul. He's talking to the Christians there in the church at Rome, the saved folks, the folks on their way to heaven. And he said, you folks need to start doing something about what you say you believe. You know, that's really all we need to do to reach a lost and a dying world for Jesus Christ. It's just to do something about what we say we believe. That'd take care of it. Number one, it's personal. It's for me. And it's for you. Number two, it's pleading. Paul said, I beseech you. Now that's interesting. It's not a demand. It's not a command. Matter of fact, he's talking about that which no one can demand of us but God. And he said, so I beseech you, therefore, I am pleading with you. And we probably ought to pay attention for just a minute here. I am pleading with you. You know, in our churches, well, in all of them except this one, of course, folks sit around and chew their gum, play on the cell phone, rest in Zion, listen to the preaching, it's just like water running off a duck's back. They walk in, rest, leave, just like they came. Nothing ever changes. And Paul said, look, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. Pay attention to what you believe. Pay attention to your doctrine. Present yourself, you see. While our city's going to hell, our friends are going to hell, our loved ones are going to hell, Mexico's going to hell, and we sit content, happy, just as wonderful. We're saved, on our way to heaven, you know. And it's interesting. It's so interesting to me that as important as this is, no one can make you do it. No one will ever make you be the kind of Christian you know God wants you to be. No one can do it. It's personal. and he's pleading with you. And you know, as a Christian, I really don't want it on my tombstone that God asked me to do something and I wouldn't do it. I don't want that said of me. I don't want people thinking that of me, you see. And God is just asking us, just like I said last night, just to give it all to him. Just stop playing church. It's not a social club. Just get involved. I know the preacher hadn't said one word to me. He just gave me an outline to preach. And he told me if I didn't stop lying, he was going to kick me out. But it's quite interesting, because sometimes pastors just really get tired of folks saying, you know, I would if I could, but I have nothing to give. I heard the story a long time. All of my stories are old. I don't know why. But I heard the story years ago. A huge Baptist church back in the old days when some of our Baptist brethren were running a straight line and doing great things for God. And they were having their missions conference. It came down to the night they were to bring their commitment cards forward. And he said, now, everyone needs to do something. And then he said, and everyone has something to give. And as they began to come down and place their commitments there on the altar, a little child girl walked down there in a little tattered dress and looked for a moment, picked up one of the empty offering plates and set it down on the floor and stepped up in it with her little feet and just stood there. The preacher, wanting to be kind to her and not wanting to embarrass her, leaned over and said to her, honey, what are you doing? And she said, you said everybody had something to give, and all I have is me, and I give it to God. And became one of the great missionaries. We all have something. And we try to get too far ahead of ourselves. I beseech you that you present your bodies. You just want to forget about giving you money until you get this taken care of. You know, it has to happen somehow. And somebody said, but that's asking so much of us. How could God possibly ask that of us, expect it of us? And he does expect it of us. What's that all based on? Well, look at your verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said, you want to know why you ought to do it? He said, you're at this point. He said, you've got past all that doctrine. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. All of that. And it was all because of the mercies of God. Yes, that's why we ought to do it. Yeah. That's why God can call us all. And God can say all of us have something to give. It's based on his mercies. And I suspect what we ought to do is just stop all the chatter and stop all of the bickering and the belly aching and the splitting and the splattering and the grumbling and the complaining and the criticizing and the finding fault and the self-pity and the whole bunch of garbage, and just sit down somewhere and get in touch with God and say, dear God, I want to thank you for saving me.
Amen.
Now, you better not take that for granted. That was by the mercies of God.
Amen.
It was personal also. It was very, very, very personal. I heard of that single mom raising a teenage daughter. We're talking about personal now. The little girl was a young teen, and she was just growing into a real beauty. And her mother was horribly scarred all over her body, her face, her hands, her arms. Just disfigured to the point you couldn't say anything, but it just was ugly. And she was doing such a good job of raising that teenage daughter. They were out walking one afternoon, And they ran into a bunch of the little teenage girls' peers, and they were chatting and chattering around, and one of the girls whispered loudly to the little teenager and said, "Who is that ugly woman you're with?" And the little teenager replied, "I don't know her. I don't know who that is." Mother heard it all. She didn't say a thing. They got home. She said, "I want you to sit down now." Little girl, sit down. Mother got right in front of her. And she said, "You're a beautiful girl." And she said, "Once I was as beautiful as you are. Once my skin was without blemish. My hair was long and thick. My hands were smooth. I was just as pretty as you are." And then one day we had the fire at the house, and it just exploded all at once. And I was burned like this, getting you out. And it dawned on the little girl, and as a tear trickled down her eye, she said, "Oh, Mama, you did it all for me." And Mama said, "Yes, I did it all for you." Now, I want to say this to you. You do whatever you want to with the following statement. But when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he died for me. Now, if you want to get in on it, that's your business. But he died for me. It was a personal thing that took place on Calvary's cross. And we need to realize that. And you say, "Oh, we all know that." No, we don't know that. We sing it, no more know what we're singing. You know, how many times have you sung it? Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not it was for me he died. It's personal, by the mercies of God. And notice your verse. It gets pretty simplistic. We're not going to be here long. It gets very, very, very simplistic now. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." That's you present your bodies. That's the holy presentation. It's not the money thing. That you present your bodies. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. You see, a Christian is the only one who can present anything to God. The rest of it's just an abomination. They're the only ones. And yet, what God is asking of us is nothing more than our body. It's interesting. And the great theological argument today is, among the brethren, exactly what does that word body mean? Well, I would like to tell you, it means that gob of flesh you're sitting there in. Body. B-O-D-Y. Body. Exactly what it means, and that's exactly what God wants, and I do not understand it, because this body is so filled with sins, the sin of laziness, the sin of uncleanness, all of those things. We could go down the line, and yet the Bible tells us that this body is the house of the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants it presented to him, you see. That word, you present your body, looks to me like the word present. That you give someone a present, or are you place near at hand something. That's the way the theologians go at it. You press, put something near at hand. We've all had that experience. You know, I look around the country at the Christian work that's going on, and I see fellows who are not near as pretty as I am. They don't have hair like I have. You know, they're not a hunk like I am. They don't have the great talent and ability that I have. Their personality is zapped. And they're just doing such a marvelous, wonderful work of God. And I want to say to the Lord, "Lord, here I am. Why are you using them and not me?" And it seems as if God says to me in that way that he speaks to you. He said, I use what's near at hand. Do you ever get ready to drive a nail in the wall and have to use a shoe heel to drive it with? You mesquite people don't know what a hammer's for. Why didn't you use the hammer? Wasn't one near at hand. God's looking for someone tonight. God is beseeching, pleading for someone to present their bodies a living sacrifice, just to get their body where God can use it to do what he wants to do. Amen. And I hear you. I hear one of you right now. Well, you're just trying to get the flesh in it. Just let the Holy Spirit of God do his work. With what, pray tell? Yeah. Right. What do you think God's going to use?
Right.
Millions dying without Christ. We sit around and enjoy church, you see. God wants you to present your body. But notice our fifth thought here, if you're counting. Notice your verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross was the last acceptable dead sacrifice. Now then, he talks about living water and living bread and living way, and he wants a living Christian to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in the sight of God. Living sacrifice. I just get plumb unreligious and want to jack somebody's jaw for Jesus' sake when they say, well, I'd be willing to die for Christ. He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Yes, sir.
That's the call tonight. But notice our verse now. We come to the last thought. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, some of you got torqued up about halfway through the message. Well, that's asking too much of anybody. God says it's just reasonable. It's just reasonable that we would present our bodies to be used of God anywhere, anytime, any cost. It's just reasonable that a Christian would do that. Now, all those Old Testament sacrifices, those oxen, those doves, those that were, they had nothing to say about it. They just got caught up, brought in, slit the throat, bled out, burned them, and that was it. They had no capacity to have any thoughts about it. Now, God gave you and me a mind and the facility with which to reason, right? He made us with that ability to reason, you see. We have the power to reason. And the most reasonable thing you will ever do as a Christian is to present your body a living sacrifice.
Good.
When you get that done, the financial commitment's going to be a breeze.
Right.
This is the one that's choking Christianity out. This is the one that's hindering missionaries who need desperately help. And we sit around saying, I have nothing to give. No, you have nothing but yourself. And that's all God's asking. It's reasonable. I got saved in 1948. I wasted some years after that. That's all it could ever be, is wasted years. But 56 years ago, I got serious about the things of God. Now, my soul had always been saved. But 56 years ago, when I got serious about the things of God, the question every day has been, are you going to give me the rest of it now? Your soul is saved. When are you going to give me the rest of it? As you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just let God have the rest of you. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your esteem. Get rid of that lack of trust in yourself and just say, Lord, here I am. You'll just be surprised what he'll do. And here's the deal. Just be reasonable. Just be reasonable. We pride ourselves on being reasonable. This is the big one. This is the biggie. Are you willing to do the reasonable thing? Do what you are able to reason is proper. God will bless you for it. Make that holy presentation. You ought to make it tonight. You ought to get it written down on a decision card for that preacher to look at. Where when he wants to contact a reasonable person and say, here's what God wants you to do, you'll be ready to go. Amen. You ought to get it down. You ought to nail it down tonight. Reasonable. Would you bow your head, please? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You see, I thought we were going to be talking about financial commitment. We might sometime, if we can get to it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.